Vidura told Dhritarashtra, basically, in a most cutting way, how foolish she was. Why? Because in the force of this time element, which is wearing down everything in the material world, from the biggest of mountains to the smallest of pebbles, what to speak of us tiny, insignificant living entities in our fragile material bodies? From the greatest palace to the deepest cave, the oceans, everything is being worn away by time. And this is the problem. This is the problem of life. Even if we try to arrange a perfect situation, or even, on the other hand, if we find a situation that we are satisfied with, despite its imperfection, we cannot keep it because time will crush it, as it crushes everything within this world. Kalosmin loka chaya krit. Krishna explains when he shows Arjuna his kalarup, the form of time, which crushes and catches everyone between its teeth. So when Krishna, this time factor is Krishna ending all our plans for success in the material world, crushing them, because it is actually his mercy. Why? It's because we are out of home in the material world. We don't belong here. We can plan and plan and plan and scheme to be happy here, but we have something far better awaiting us if we will give up this plan to be happy in the material world and turn towards Krishna. So the time factor, which crushes everything, using its armies of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, and so many other lesser armies of the wind and rain and the cold and the heat, just crushing and crushing and crushing. The cold contracts, the heat expands, the cold contracts, the heat expands. And in this way, the biggest buildings are broken down, and the mountains are broken down, and lightning bolts hit the mountains, and the rains come. So, in the face of this attack on our very fragile fort of our material body, naturally, when one realizes or becomes awake to the devastating effect of the time factor, what next naturally happens? Or like, say, if you ever been to the top of a big building or something and you look down from outside, and where do you feel, what part of your body do you feel something? In the pit of the stomach, you feel what? Nauseous, what? I heard the word I was looking for. Fear. That is actually a realization of the time factor. That's the chakra of Krishna. You're actually getting a glimpse of it. It's actually quite a mystical experience. You look up and suddenly great fear overtakes one. Naturally, when we realize our fragility in the material world, we become afraid. Now, that's what this chapter is about. Because one Dhritarashtra, one insignificant soul within a fragile material body, is closing his eyes to the approach of the effect of the time factor. And what is he doing before Vidura shakes him? seemingly cutting him with harsh words, but actually being so kind to him. What is he doing? He's saying, wake up to what's really going on. Time is pursuing you. And what have you been doing to protect yourself from this time factor? You're taking shelter of your family. You're closing your eyes to what's going on and taking shelter of these fallible personalities. Of course, in the case of Dhritarashtra, the personalities he was taking shelter of were in fact infallible. Yudhisthira Maharaj, the Pandavas, but he wasn't taking shelter of them in the mood that one takes shelter of an exalted devotee. He was taking shelter of the material facilities that Yudhisthira was offering to him out of the kindness of his heart. So Vidura, the sadhu, cut and shook him and told him, don't do this. Don't take shelter of family members for your protection against time. Just look at your situation, wake up, because taking shelter of family members means taking shelter of illusion, just closing your eyes, thinking that everything is fine, everything is all right. Everything is comfortable because my body is comfortable, but actually I'm being pursued by time. This is what it means to take shelter of the family members. Deha patra kalatra deshu atmasanyasa satsvabhi tejam pramata nidanam prashanapina pashyati. Although everyone knows this, that there is no protection from the crushing of time, through these personalities, through the comfort, through the material facilities that they are offering, everyone knows that there is no shelter, but still we still do it. Nevertheless, we do it. We take shelter. We put our faith there. When we're in difficulty, we look for those personalities who we're used to, who comfort us, who are offering us the material facilities. This is called Maya. In the face of time devastating us, taking shelter of family. Now, what is foolish about that? Because they can actually, in fact, offer us no protection. No protection. So therefore, the conclusion of Vidura, after shaking Dhritarashtra and insulting him, saying that Bhim is tossing you scraps of food, the ones that you're maintained by, and these people who you have tried to kill, you're accepting charity from them. But his purpose isn't to insult him, but rather his purpose is to awaken him to the time factor's approach, and that he is taking shelter of that which is not worthy of being taken shelter of. And rather what he should do, in text 27 he describes, he is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others, because once you're awake, you're awake. Either when you're asleep, if someone tells you, hey, wake up, you're sleeping, or you realize, hey, I'm sleeping, I'm going to wake up, I have something to do. Either way, you're awake as a result. So, one who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of the material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing with his heart. That kind of person is a first-class man, Narottam. Nara Uttam, the topmost human being, taking shelter of the Lord. Now this process of taking shelter of Krishna will be described in so many places of the Bhagavatam. But here it is not described, but just this principle that we should not take shelter of illusion. We should take shelter of Krishna. We should not stay at home. We should take shelter of Krishna. But whether at home or not at home, we should take shelter of Krishna. That is the point. So in text 28, he continues, Vidura continues with his very heavy instructions to this old man. Please, therefore, leave for the north immediately without letting your relatives know. For soon that time will approach which will diminish the good qualities of man, of men. And what time is that? That's approaching? Kali Yuga. So, Prabhupada explains in his purport. One can compensate for a life of frustration by becoming a dhira, or leaving home for good without communicating with relatives. And Vidura advised his eldest brother to adopt this way without delay, because very quickly the age of Kali was approaching. Vidura knew this because the age of Kali cannot come when Krishna is on the planet. And he actually knew that Krishna had already left the planet, although he did not directly state that. So he knew that Kali was coming. Now, okay, Kali is coming, how nice. That means we can just chant Hare Krishna. But that is not what Kali does. It makes it so difficult. Because a conditioned soul is already degraded by material association. And still, in the Kali Yuga, the good qualities of man will deteriorate to the lowest standard. He was advised to leave home before Kali Yuga approached, because the atmosphere which was created by Vidura, his valuable instructions on the facts of life, would fade away due to the influence of the age which was fast approaching. This is what happens. All good sense, all good qualities that are brought about by holy personalities or by higher ages, they are dissipated by Kali's approach, and instead of having sober sobriety, people's consciousness becomes covered by passion and ignorance to such a degree they don't even know that they're covered. They don't know that they're mad. They don't even know that they're miserable, although it's obvious. People don't know even that, practically speaking, they're animals. On the other hand, they're thinking they're making progress. Certainly astounding, but in Kali Yuga, one learns not to be surprised by anything. This is what Kali Yuga does, and it's not over yet. And the 12th canto, I mean, if we think that... And we can mention so many things that Kali brings. Such prayana bhaya jagas kalavasmin yuge jana manda samanda matayo manda abhagya upadruta. Everyone's mind is so disturbed. Everyone is lazy, misguided, unlucky. Unlucky. Engaged in ignorant activities, thinking that ignorant activities will make them happy, not knowing that happiness comes from good activities. And what comes from ignorant activities is madness and further and deeper ignorance. But the whole age is set up to push us down. From the top to the bottom, from the culture to the television, the radio, the computers, the leaders, the newspapers, the magazines, the styles, the fashions, the method of making money, the methods of entertainment, the method of dress, the foods that we eat the preservatives that are put in the foods the drinking we just see how contaminated the society is that who 20 years ago or 10 years ago even 20 years ago, say, or 15 years ago, would have ever thought that they would have to buy water to drink. No one would ever thought this, and yet no one understands that you have to buy drinking water. But this means that everything is becoming worse and more contaminated. No, we're making advancement, We'll see that people will have to buy air. But it will get worse. By the time the age of Kali ends, let's start at the beginning. Sukadeva Goswami says to Prakrit Maharaj, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, wealth will be considered the sign of a man's good birth. It's the only thing that's considered. Proper behavior. If one's wealthy, he's behaving properly and his fine qualities. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. And success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's experience in sex. And a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. And one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. This is true. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money. This is always the mood in the United States. That if someone is poor, something is thought to be wrong with him. While in older cultures, someone can be noble and yet not have money and be considered with great honor. Money is everything in Kali Yuga. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Filling the belly will become the goal of life, and one who is audacious will be accepted as truthful. One who lies boldly will be accepted as one who, because people are so foolish that if someone just lies boldly, people would think, how could he possibly be telling a fib? They will accept. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, and the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. As the earth becomes crowded with corrupt population, whoever amongst any of the social classes shows himself to be the strongest will gain political power, losing their wives and property to such avaricious and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizens will flee to the mountains and the forests. Harassed by famine and excessive taxes, people resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and snow. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. People are terrified nowadays of the diseases of these diseases and like AIDS and things like that, and so many sexually transmitted diseases. They're terrified of it. And they come from, they enter human society from animals. Many of these diseases from having sex with animals. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. By the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size. And the religious principles of followers of Vanashrama Dharma will be ruined. The path of the Vedas will be completely forgotten in human society, and so-called religion will be mostly atheistic. The kings will mostly be thieves. The occupations of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence, and all the social classes will be reduced to the lowest level of sudras. Cows will be like goats. Spiritual hermitage will be no different from mundane houses, and family ties will extend no further than the immediate bonds of marriage. The nuclear family. Most plants and herbs will be tiny, and all trees will appear like dwarf sami trees. Clouds will be full of lightning, homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will become like asses, donkeys. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on earth. Acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness, he will rescue eternal religious principles. So Kali was approaching, and Vidura knew this. And Kali affects the personality, the people who are under, who live in the world so imperceptibly and degrades them that people lose their good qualities. So therefore, he said, get out now. You're now, Vidura is saying basically, now you're under my influence. By the power of my words, my shaking you, I'm pulling you out of illusion. But if you don't leave now, Kali will come, my words will be forgotten, and Kali will envelop you. And you will lose your life to the force of time. Thus, Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamida, the descendant of Ajamida, firmly convinced by the introspective knowledge, pragyan, broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. In other words, by hearing, his intelligence became fixed in this knowledge. And therefore, his attachment to the comforts of family life broke. He broke them. Thus he immediately left home and set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother, Vidura. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even a moment's association with a pure devotee, by that one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favored by His divine grace, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, It would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. So at this time when Prabhupada was writing this, that was the mighty task that he was working on. But also, later on, he performed the also mighty task of spreading the chanting of the holy names of Krishna throughout the world by establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because to get out, to be pulled out of family life, the comfort, and to become free to preach and empowered to preach is not an easy or an obvious thing to do. Very difficult to come out. So Prabhupada is saying it is by the mercy of the instructions of his Guru Maharaj that it was possible. But also we know that it was his receptivity to that mercy that also made it possible. The sun can be there for everyone, but if we close the door, closing the blinds, closing the shades, closing the curtains, what can the sun do if we hide ourselves inside? So it's also the receptivity of the hearer that allows the sun to bestow its mercy. Without seeing him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of his divine grace. And here is another practical example by the actions of Madhura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities related to politics, economy, and a family attachment, and he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects. But he was frustrated from the beginning to the end. So as far as his material activities were concerned, and yet despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical emblem of a sadhu, because he attached to Krishna, he wandered into a place, spoke strongly to cut material attachment for the purpose of extricating a soul from the bondage of matter. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all kinds of association, and by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion because everything appears to be a tangible reality, but at the next moment, everything evaporates like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be reality because it rains. And due to rain, so many temporary green things appear. But in the ultimate issue, everything disappears, namely the cloud, the rain, the green vegetation, all in due course. But the sky remains. And the varieties of sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally. And the temporary cloud-like illusion comes and goes away. Foolish living beings are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more concerned with the eternal sky with all its variegatedness. Such is the effect of the association with sadhus. So Dhritarashtra got this instruction and he set out on the path of liberation and headed north. The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subal of Kandahar, or Gandhara, which is Afghanistan, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalaya Mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, just like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. So that is actually a wonderful purport, concept, and verse, but we won't have time to talk about that now. In other words, they headed north for the performance of austerities. That is the meaning of vanaprastha life, actually. Brahmachari life means student life. Grihastha life is meant for charity. Vanaprastha life is meant for austerity, and sannyasa is meant for preaching. Maharaj Yudhisthira, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifices to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, lambs, and gold to the brahmanas. He did not know that Dhritarashtra had already left. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncle or aunt, the daughter of King Subha. Maharaj Yudhisthira, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjay, who was sitting there, and said, "Oh Sanjay, where is our uncle who is old and blind?" Uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. "Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he therefore take my offenses very seriously and along with his wife drown himself in the Ganges?" So we spoke about this special quality of Yudhisthira Maharaj earlier. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he was feeling grief-stricken, full of anxiety and remorse that so many people had been killed just to place him as the king, and it was not at all in his consciousness the wrongs that were done to the Pandavas. So similarly, he's hereby thinking, "Only poor Dhritarashtra, have I offended him because of the killing of his children, and due to the grief, has he and Gandhari gone to the Ganges to drown themselves and end their lives due to their misery, due to my offenses?" This is practically speaking the definition of a good man. He sees his own faults. Prabhupada explains in the later part of his purport. As a pious man, Maharaj Yudhisthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds, and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord, but Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. That is the nature of a good man and devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible. Maharaj Yudhisthira continued his lamentation, worry, anxiety about Dhritarashtra. "When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well wishes. Alas, where have they gone from here?" So he was asking Sanjay, where are they? Suta Goswami said, "Because of compassion and mental agitation, Sanjay, not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra, was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhisthira." Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sanjay was the personal assistant of Maharaj Dhritarashtra for a very long time, and thus he had the opportunity to study the life of Dhritarashtra. And when he saw at last that Dhritarashtra had left home without his knowledge, his sorrows had no bounds. He was full of compassion towards Dhritarashtra because in the game of the battle of Kurukshetra, King Dhritarashtra had lost everything, men and money, and at last the king and the queen had to leave home in utter frustration. That's what he was thinking. Out of desperation and frustration and having nothing, they're gone. He studied the situation in his own way because he did not know the inner vision of Dhritarashtra has been awakened by Vidura. And therefore he had left home. It wasn't out of frustration. It was due to some inner spiritual life that had been awakened by the association of Vidura the Sadhu. So therefore, Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. All perfection can come by this association because that is the seed of bhakti. It is placed. The vision is the taste and the methodology, the concept that I am Krishna's servant, that I do not belong to the material world. So he did not know, Sanjay didn't know the inner vision of Dhritarashtra had been awakened by Vidura, and therefore he had left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life after departure from the dark well of home. Unless one is convinced of a better life after renunciation at the present life, of the present life, one cannot stick to the renounced order of life simply by artificial dress or staying out of the home. So one has to build up with great strength the spiritual vision of life, the positive. So therefore, Dhritarashtra left home cheerfully and enthusiastically to place himself in the hands of Krishna. Like that. So Sanjay, first after hearing the request of Yudhisthira asking him what happened, Sanjay first he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence, and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Sanjaya said, "My dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles in Gandhari, Vidura and Dhritarashtra. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls. Charlie had been serving him for years and years and years and years, giving him everything, caring for him so carefully, and suddenly, without even mentioning a word to me, just leaves, cheating him in that way. Because he was a devoted servant, he felt cheated. Because a servant like this, his whole life was devoted to his master Dhritarashtra. So when he left, he lost everything. Sanjay felt he lost everything. Prabhupada's purport. That great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know. But it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhisthira to tell a lie before Dronacharya, and it was also for a great cause. Asatama is dead. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. That is the definition of the greatest cause, fulfilling the desire of Krishna. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is bona fide, and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty. That is the verdict of the Gita and the Bhagavatam. So, Yatta Pravita Bhutanam, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, and Svanustitasya Dhammasya Samsadim Haritoshanam from the Bhagavatam. So Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjay, although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant. Sanjay never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him. But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjay. Sanatan Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the Absolute Truth. We also have the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. So Krishna makes up for the seeming loss in his own way. But sometimes when great souls perform these type of acts, there is great pain and suffering on the other side. It is not like a joke. But yet, when Krishna wants something done, he wants something done, and that is the definition of all good. And again, he has his way of compensating in his own way for the spiritual benefit of all. So Sanjay said, "I've been cheated." While Sanjay was speaking, Sri Narad, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tamburu, his tambura. Narada Muni was always vibrating the glories of Krishna. Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers received them properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. Interestingly enough, we heard about Narada Muni at the last time we heard about him in the end of the sixth chapter, how he became the great sage Narada Muni after being a lowly son of a maidservant, but by association again with Bhaktivedanta, he became the great soul. So we don't see him again until now, and here Narada Muni enters the scene to preach. And he's going to say some very interesting things. Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. So as soon as Narada Muni came, Maharaj Yudhisthira said, because Narada, Nara means man and Da means the giver. So he gives to man. And what does he give to man? God consciousness. That is Narada. So he said, "O godly," Yudhisthira Maharaj said, "O godly personality, I do not know where my two uncles have gone, Vidura and Dhritarashtra, nor can I find my ascetic aunt who is grief-stricken by the loss of her sons." You are a captain of a ship. You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean. And you can direct us to our destination, because Yudhisthira Maharaj didn't know what to do. He was bereft. The person who he was caring for, who was depending on him, and this was Sanjay's situation, was now gone. There's a great feeling of loss and helplessness when such a thing happens. So please, he's comparing him. Now you direct us as to what to do. Thus addressed the godly personality, Devarshi Narada, the greatest of the philosopher devotees, began to speak. So we'll, if Krishna allows, we'll complete the chapter tomorrow. And here, what happened to Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and Vidura? And we'll hear also of Narada's wonderful words to Maharaj Yudhisthira and Sanjay. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
It was discussed that the devotee is
different. He sees whatever happens to him as Krishna's mercy. Consequence means karma. He sees that this is Krishna doing this to me, either. Or he sees Tateno Kampam Susamikshamano Bhunjaneva Matripagata Bhapakam Ridvagva Bapodam Vadatanam Namaste Zivita Yom Muktipade Sudanavak. So he sees that Krishna, I deserve so much worse, and Krishna has adjusted it. Or I did not deserve, something good happened to me, and Krishna has given me this. So either way, he's seeing Krishna and all that happens to him. And that gift, tasyaham sulabha partha nitya tasya yogana, that connects him to Krishna always. So this consciousness of seeing Krishna's mercy in everything is not easy to obtain. In fact, this is Paramhamsa consciousness, most difficult to obtain. Yeshan Tvantakata Papam Jananam Pudyakarmanam. One has to be free from sins. Te Dvanva Moha Vinirmuktam. To be free from duality in this way and only see Krishna in everything means Yesham Tvantakata Papam, freedom from all sins. Prabhupada actually explains that in a purport. Exalted consciousness. So when we examine what happened to Yamaraj specifically, so another way to see it, as Prabhupada explains in one purport, is that Yamaraj was always engaged in administrative work. He's an administrative demigod, devotee, but an administrative demigod. All day long, so many cases have to come to him. Okay, this one, you have to go to hell, or go to this particular hell, signing all the papers and everything like that. Administration. So he was longing to preach. So he saw this by Krishna's arrangement, he had gotten this opportunity to preach, and that's just what he did. TK? Further question? Does it seem like Vidura suffered? If someone is actually saying this is Krishna's hand, that this is Krishna's offering of love to me, it is not just a mental adjustment. Because the devotee sees like that. First of all, the devotee actually sees like that, but it's not a mental adjustment. It is Krishna actually doing that. So, is it the devotee's consciousness that makes it Krishna doing it? Ultimately, Krishna is doing it to everyone. But the devotee only sees Krishna. But the confusing part about it is that it's actually inconceivable. But the devotee doesn't bother with that element, he just sees Krishna, Krishna's mercy. But how this works with our karma, and how Krishna uses our karma, or adjusts our karma, or whatever, that's somewhat inconceivable. But the devotee, again, just sees how Krishna has so kindly done this to bring me closer to him. Maharaj Prickett was another example. When the snake bird, when he was cursed, he was actually, he did something that he shouldn't do. So he was thinking, this is my fault, it's me. And he was lamenting that. But actually, it was Krishna's arrangement. And look what occurred because of that. The Bhagavatam was spoken. Or Chitraketu Maharaj, being cursed to take the form of Vritrasura, the form of a demon. That was actually Krishna's arrangement to bring him quickly back to Vaikuntha. See what it really means for it not to be a sentiment. It really means that one has to be a paramhamsa, an exalted devotee having practically no contact with the material body. It is an exalted state of consciousness. That is the realization of a paramhamsa. It is not a mental adjustment. But we, if we are not paramhamsas, we cannot act on that platform because one has to be fully pure. Because te dvanva, you have to be free from duality.
It might be a possibility that the Hemdai did make a mistake. This might be a possibility that he might have made some mistake. Yamraj.
But the point being, when something happens to him, whether he's made a mistake or it was Krishna's arrangement, he just sees that Krishna is giving me this to bring me closer to him. And it's an expression of Krishna's love. He sees nothing but that. Therefore, a devotee can live, an actual devotee on that level, is the only one who can be free from anxiety in this material world because he's living within the mercy of Krishna. So whether he made a mistake or didn't make a mistake, he just sees whatever happens as Krishna's affection to him, and therefore he reciprocates with that with more affection.
With regard to his question,
yeah. This
is a possibility that there was some error, you know, maybe it was induced by Krishna prompting him or whatever way it might have happened. So yes, he has suffered due to something like that.
But that suffering is the suffering of love. It's not suffering.
Yeah, that's all right. That's accepted.
Anyway, you better not judge Yamaraj because he's the one who's going to judge you. Better be careful. You should give him the benefit of the doubt and hope for the same. And he'll say, anyway, Bunky could have made a mistake. Maybe it was his mistake, or maybe not, but anyway. Let him give him a break. Okay.
Administrators do make mistakes.
So much rush of work. So many cases in one day to have to finish. Otherwise, it becomes backlog for the next day. problem. And good help is hard to find nowadays. Sasra, do you want to continue? No, sentiment is okay. It's actually a nice word for it. But it's more than that, really.
But I wanted to understand more clearly is that how much actually and in what position actually one should accept that thoughts that everything actually happens to the devotee. Is actually mercy of Krishna and there is really no karma involved. How much and how to make that balance to understand the thing. Otherwise, if we accept everything is Krishna mercy in the hand of, in the case of devotees, then really, you know, there's no one can. Of course, you will make the point that is beyond, one has to be beyond duality. But to adjustment, you know, if you take that principle, then the really,
there's
no necessity for reformation in the life.
No necessity for what?
Reformation of the
bad act.
Of
the what?
Bad act.
No, but it's not a bluff. That's the point that I would like to make in this. That you try to accept everything as Krishna's mercy, and you find that you can't do it because you're not one is not, unless one is on the on that platform, one cannot do it. So according to how much devotion one has the ability to do this. And then if one is on that level of devotion, when one can actually see like that, there's no need of reformation because he's already reformed. I'm not sure if that answers your doubt. But it's not like a person who's on this level can imitate a person on that level. You can do it externally for a little while, but then Krishna will send something that you will not be able to accept. But yet, this is the ideal. And sometimes, and it doesn't contradict either. If someone accepts everything as Krishna's mercy, so therefore he can act whimsically and then say, oh, Krishna's mercy, because a devotee doesn't do that. That's a bluff. And on the other hand, he can't, this is high level of consciousness. But it's required in the sense that at the time of death, if we don't give ourselves completely to Krishna's hands, then we won't be properly ready to die. So by that time, we actually have to develop that consciousness, that putting ourselves completely in Krishna's hands. That's what it means. To depend on Krishna. And that's why it's called Nara Uttam. That's the topmost man. But Arjuna was in that category when he was fighting, so it wasn't that he was sitting back and taking some rest in the middle of the battlefield and depending on Krishna. No, he was showing the example of a devotee how to depend on Krishna while fighting, doing your duty for Krishna's pleasure, but it takes bhakti. Am I touching your doubt or your question or the point that you would like to tell us or not?
On the other hand, there are so many examples in history where for no fault of theirs, a great personality was put into trouble, no karma. Just like Sitarama and Ravana and all that. She was Lakshmi, she had absolutely no fault, she was totally faultless, and yet she was made in the whole Leela of Ramchandra. She was made to sort of seemingly suffered, you know, so much. And even Krishna's parents, Vasudeva, Devaki,
in the material world, it must happen. It's the nature of the material world.
Not only that, but this is higher plans are there, so these things are sort of being done.
So one must accept that.
Yeah. So it's not always that he has done some fault. It's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm glad you've changed. Sorry, I like that side more. Very good. You are me, monkey. I will give you something later. Don't worry. Take care.
It'll save you from Maharaj.
From who?
All possibilities are included in these things.
See, I didn't make a mistake, right?
No. Whoever said that, I agree. He's one of the Mahajas, actually. No, but that's really the fact. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 21 marketplaces. Right after Prabhupada took sannyas, very soon after that, he was gored by a bull. And he said, "What is this? What's happening?"
The point that Sinister is making about finding a balance is really quite a relevant one, because you're talking about the ideal, and ideal people and ideal circumstances, even up to the point of faultless people, personalities, who obviously have faultless consciousness. So, you know, we hear the ideal obviously has to be what we're aiming for, but we might find ourselves to be so low level that we're not all ideal. So then, what do you look for, like Sastra was asking, in how do you find a balance between this consciousness and, you know, and interesting? Because you do see people think that, oh, well, that's Krishna's mercy, and so they're not responsible.
Oh, an excuse for acting irresponsibly.
You see that all the time.
But people who do that don't do that when it happens to them.
But the point is, what would people
anything could be misused.
Be looking for, because obviously they're going to be misusing it. So what do you look for to see if you're misusing or not?
In oneself?
Yeah. Oh. Guidelines that one can check oneself by to see if one is not properly balanced.
Personally, I find myself